We're going to be reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let's take a moment and pray. God, we come before you now with our minds going in a million different directions. Calm our hearts. Calm our thoughts and allow us to be open to the messages you have in store for us today. Stir in us and move in us in ways that we need. And God, allow us to shift our focus onto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before I get really started here this morning, I just want to say something. I know a few weeks ago when I was last standing here, Jer outed one of my reasons for me loving The Greatest Showman. Indeed, I do not find it difficult to look at Hugh Jackman. However, there are many more appropriate reasons for me to love the movie. It has amazing depth. It has fabulous characters. It has relatable themes. It also has some solid sermon ideas. So needless to say, today we are going to focus on another one of the songs from the movie. I'm hoping that some of you actually went home and watched the movie after the last time I was here, and if not, today's your day. As I shared last month, we went to see the movie The Greatest Showman as a family and thoroughly enjoyed it. The song From Now On reminded me of the parable of the prodigal son with a multi-leveled storyline leading up to it. But the other song that seems to have become an anthem for so many is called This Is Me. This bearded lady in the movie sings the song as she comes to terms with the fact that she doesn't fit into society and never really has and likely won't for quite some time. She finally finds the courage, though, to stand up to the world that has been against her and accepts her faults, shortcomings, and failures almost as trophies for what has allowed her to come so far in life. She realizes that because of all of her differences, she is set apart from others, and quite frankly, it's time that everyone else accept that this is who she is. Much like the youth sharing this morning, I too have stories of not fitting in and not feeling accepted, alienated for one reason or another. In fact, I bet we all do. That's almost what we expect in life, isn't it? I remember those days in phys ed class, waiting for the captain to pick me to be on their team. The butterflies would fly around my tummy, hoping that this time would be different than the last 47 times, and that I wouldn't be the last one chosen yet again. Then there were the days when I was classified as too fat to wear certain things, or too skinny to wear something else. The days that I was called too smart and told that my kind weren't allowed to be sitting at the caf table were memorable moments, too. There were days of being too churchy and being isolated from certain events. And then there were other days of not being churchy enough to be asked to lead certain things. There are still days when I don't feel qualified enough, when I feel like my voice isn't heard, that my outward appearance matters more than my heart, the clothes and shoes I wear, how my hair is done. At my age, I shouldn't worry if I'm going to get picked for any of the proverbial teams, yet I do. When history continues to repeat itself, we tend to believe our feelings, and more often than not, those feelings are negative. They are feelings of being judged, compared, alienated. Those feelings can, in turn, change our behavior and keep us away from parts of life and people in it. We put walls up to protect ourselves from the negativity. Sometimes we just want to be accepted, not because of our knowledge, popularity, skill, beauty, or gifts, but because someone who sees who we truly are, someone who actually sees our value and our worth. God doesn't see what the world sees. He can peek into our hearts and see the abilities and talents and beauty we aren't even aware we possess. He can see our full potential. We are worthy to God, not because of what we have done, but because he sees us as valuable and chosen. The world may look down at us as just regular, good-for-nothing, different people, but God sees our potential and ability to be disciples for him. God calls us conquerors, blessed, worthy, chosen. The world tells us that outward beauty, brains, physique, social status, and financial security are what defines success in today's society. But here's the truth. God doesn't measure any of those things. He values inner beauty and considers the heart of those who love and follow him over anything else. The world looks at our outward appearance and superficial attitudes and listens to the voice of others, casting judgment before taking the time to learn who we truly are. We know how terrible it is to feel judged. Yet how quickly have you been to judge someone else? I know I have been numerous times. One of my most memorable lessons in this for me was when I was in high school. My grade 12 English teacher noticed that I wasn't in a good headspace and asked me to stay after class to talk with her. There was no way I wanted to stay after class by myself to talk to this woman. At that time in my life, she was scary. There were rumors going around the school about her and her personal life. She was a new and very difficult teacher, and she seemed to know everything. I sure as heck wasn't about to unpack my life with her. My walls went up, and I judged this woman for all the wrong reasons. I chose to listen to the lies and negativity. Didn't take me long to see how incredibly wrong I was about her, but it did take me almost 20 years to acknowledge it to her and to apologize. Turns out she does know a lot and is actually incredibly wise. She isn't scary at all, but rather extremely loving, supportive, and encouraging, and she is open to sharing about her life in hopes of helping someone else sort theirs. Joanne is now a very good friend of mine, but had I let my judgment stand in the way, I would have missed out on this relationship, missed out on the lessons she has shared with me. I was allowing the world to make my opinions for me instead of taking time to get to know her. I was looking at the outward Joanne, not taking time to see through to her heart. I was using a sword to keep her at arm's length and a shield to protect myself from what I believed to be true of Joanne, when really what I needed to do was clothe myself in the armor of God. In our culture, we are brought up to fight and compete. We fall into the trap of needing to be better than everyone else and comparing ourselves against the world. That lesson begins as children and is often evident in sports games, in competitive grading, in superhero movies, in social media, in friendships, and in so much more. As we age, it comes through in job competitions, wage comparisons, and social status, and sadly still, even in relationships. The battle for a Christian is against the forces of evil and is a battle against powers we cannot see, but which do serious damage to individuals, families, and communities. Though Paul does not name those powers, we need to hear selfishness, greed, cruelty, jealousy, bullying, judgment, vanity, and other things named as the unseen powers we must fight. Paul writes of our need to put on the whole armor of God. We live in an often violent and negative world. Children are abused. The innocent are bombed. Random shootings and other acts of violence fill the evening news reports on a seemingly daily basis. Religious groups are targeted. People who don't fit into the societal norm are targeted. Stigmas are still attached to mental illnesses. As Christ followers, part of us wants to ask for a different way of envisioning the Christian life, one that is more peaceful, more serene, more compassionate. Yet we also know that much is at stake and that darkness is present in our world and indeed in our own lives. The armor of God consists of the resources that are at our disposal in the battle against hardships. These resources are identified as truth, peace, and faith. In the daily battle of life, we do not engage unequipped. As followers of Christ, we have been trained in the knowledge of truth, in the practice of patience, in the wisdom of faith. The whole armor of God includes each of these resources. Without any of them, we place ourselves in danger of falling deeper into the darkness of this world, into the trap set for us. With the whole armor of truth, peace, and faith, we can't stand firm. Every Christian comes to a moment in life when it is necessary to stand firm. We face a decision that seems like a compromise to us. We encounter racism and sexism in the workplace and in our schools. We are exposed to values in society that are at odds with our personal convictions. There are pressures in every facet of life that threaten to knock us off course. If we are going to stand firm, we will need a strength that comes from beyond ourselves. We find that strength in our God who created us in his image and likeness, which allows us no reason to be ashamed of who we are. Jesus, the very Son of God, wasn't ashamed of who he was. He wasn't afraid to let the hemorrhaging woman touch him. He spoke with and touched and healed many that were blind or affected by diseases like leprosy. Jesus did exactly what no one else would do. He reached out to those ones suffering. As Christians, we are called to do the same. Go out and find those marginalized by society, struggling in life, suffering from mental illness, who have nobody to visit them, who have been judged wrongly by others, or who are different than us, and to help those in need, to be examples of Christ in this world. I want to show you the clip of the very first rehearsal of the movie's anthem song, This Is Me. The woman, Kiala, sings the song and stars in the movie as the bearded lady, just one of the many social outcasts in the circus. She has been fighting the darkness of the world around her for years, trying to fit in, longing to find acceptance for her flaws.
Bench and Justin have just written this new song called This Is Me, and we knew that it was going to be the anthem of the film, but no one had heard it before, and no one had heard Keala sing it live. And Keala, who I didn't even want to come out from behind the music stand.
I didn't.
I kept saying to her, just step out, because this is your moment and you have to step out into the ring, metaphorically, because that's what you're doing, and you got to stand right there in front of everyone and just belt this out.
And I didn't want to. In fact, I stood behind that music stand until the day of that presentation. There was a moment in the song that I actually was so scared that I had to actually grab Hugh's hand so that I had somebody to hold on to. And then we got to the end of the number, and all I remember is just deafening, deafening applause. It was a sort of otherworldly experience.
It was one of those moments that will stay with me the rest of my life. Unfortunately, we filmed it.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say. There's been a lot of broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down. Because I know that there's a place for us. For we are glorious. When the sharpest words want to cut me down. When a sin that want to drown my mind.
Again. And I know that I deserve your love, because there's nothing I'm not worthy of. This woman clothed herself in truth and in peace and in faith. She's standing firm in the gospel, and she knows who she's created to be. What an amazing way to bring the gospel to life. God has declared his love for us at the cross. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He created us to have an abundant life and designed each of us in a unique and wonderful way. We all deserve his love, because there's nothing we're not worthy of. God continues to walk with us through all of our darkness, offering light, love, and acceptance. Know you are unique. Know you are important. Know you have value, and know that you are loved. None of us are strangers to the darkness of this world, but we give thanks and praise that there's a place for all of us in God's family. A place for you, even with your scars, even with your story, even in your brokenness, even with your bruises, even when sharp words try to cut you down. May we all firmly position the armor of God on our lives and head out into the world, ready to lift others up, inviting them to the fullness of life with Christ. Our thirst can be quenched and our soul revived when we choose to live in him.